You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
Broken thinking, broken priorities, broken responses, broken devotion. All of these things get exposed in this process. And so God uses the suffering to expose it, and then he steps in to repair it, especially when we are ready to finally confess with our mouth, amen, that we have sinned. So God does not expose your brokenness to shame you or me. He exposes our brokenness so that he might heal us.
None of us enjoys having our weaknesses exposed. We would rather cover our wounds than revisit the pain. But healing often begins when what's been hidden is finally brought into the light. Sometimes God lovingly uncovers what's broken because he refuses to leave us there. Today, Pastor Gary will remind you that God doesn't expose your brokenness to shame you. He reveals it to restore you. You can trust him with every wounded place, because the hands that uncover are the same hands that heal. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 as he continues his message, Made Perfect.
Have you ever had a day where you thought, I would never thought I'd have said that. I never thought I'd acted like that or felt that way after I got saved. Somebody say amen right there. Well, that's the process of the Lord allowing the heat of life to cause you to become personally aware of the issues he wants you to face in the Word of God and heal from. Amen. And so he wants to perfect us. He wants to mend those broken things. He wants to restore and put in order things, make things complete that have been incomplete in our lives. And that's why God allows the suffering. So let's go through these points real quickly. Point number one, I want to look at how that perfecting means repairing what is broken. In the book of Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 17, the Bible says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If that's the truth, then what would be the opposite of that? Would it be safe to say that if he does not despise the broken heart, that maybe he would despise the stubborn heart? Does not the Bible say that he resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble? You see, we don't understand sometimes, but as long as we're not willing to face the man or the woman in the mirror, our prayers are being hindered because the stubbornness of our pride is more important to us than just saying, yes, sir, you're right, I was wrong. And sometimes the real test is not whether or not we're willing to admit that to the Lord in secret, but whether we're willing to admit that to a brother or sister that we've been hard-nosed against. Amen. Sometimes if we want to be right with God, God wants us to be right with each other. In order for us to be right with each other, we've got to be willing not only to notice the flaws and what they did to me, but the flaw, what I did to them. Because there's a two-way street there. And most always, there's more than two sides to the story. Amen. And sometimes we just need to be willing to admit, you know what? My contribution to this broken relationship is this. I did X, Y, Z. I apologize for my wrongdoing. Now, if you'll do that, there's no guarantee that the offended party will ever admit to their part in the problem. But at least someone spiritual needs to start the conversation in a humbling direction. You see what I'm saying? And so God says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. We need to come broken before him. That's simply saying, God, I am broken. I'm not here to advertise my excellence in your presence, Lord. I'm here to admit my brokenness and ask for your healing. Amen. So God starts with brokenness, but he does not leave us there. So pain reveals the break, but grace repairs the break. Isn't that good? So what gets exposed in this process quickly? Broken thinking, broken priorities, broken responses, broken devotion. All of these things get exposed in this process. And so God uses the suffering to expose it, and then he steps in to repair it, especially when we are ready to finally confess with our mouth, amen, that we have sinned. So God does not expose your brokenness to shame you or me. He exposes our brokenness so that he might heal us. And so don't be like that patient that will not let your doctor tend to your wound because it hurts too bad. Do you want to live in constant pain for the rest of your life? Then go ahead and don't let God deal with it. You'll live with it the rest of your life and you'll die a miserable death. You might end up in heaven, but you'll lose your crowns because you weren't willing to just say, okay, God, I need fixing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want God to fix every broken part in my life so Jesus can shine through. I'm tired of Gary Caudle. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. Let's go to point number two. Let's look at how perfecting means resetting what is out of place. The text is Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 11, where the Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joy." That word chastening is a King James word. You ever been whooped as a child? Okay, that means whooped, right? No whooping for the present time seemeth to be joyous. Nobody enjoys that, but grievous. Nevertheless is the word we need to look at. Afterward, it yieldeth what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When my children were smaller, it was amazing, Sister Amy, when we disciplined them biblically and appropriately, how well they responded and behaved after the fact. Amen. They learned it because we were consistent. They knew that if they did X or Y or Z, that they could expect. Now, you're threatening them all the time. I'm going to count to three. 3, 2, 1. And then you don't do nothing. They learn by the fact that you don't do nothing. They can get by with it over and over again. You have to be consistent, and you have to be real, and you have to be genuine. Don't be faking it, amen? And mean what you say, say what you mean. Follow through on your promise. Discipline them according to the Word of God's principles, and I promise you, if you'll set the pattern, they'll learn how better to behave. And here's the thing with us. This is what God does with his children. The Bible says in another scripture that if you're without chastisement of the Lord, in other words, if you can live in sin and God does not convict you, God does not challenge you in that, God does not woo you back to a loving Savior, then the Bible says you're illegitimate children. You're not even in the family, because if you're his, he's going to help you learn how to behave, and sometimes he's going to put you in that spiritual woodshed. He's going to say, now you know better than that, let's work on this. And again, he's not here to shame you, he's here to help you get healed, right? And so we see a picture here. It says it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. Sometimes after you get done with a chastening of the Lord, you'll feel like you've exercised long and hard. You know, I think it's good for us to respect that the Lord loves us too much to leave us to our own devices. Let's not bow up against a loving Savior. I mean, you know, we don't have to insist on having it our way, do we? Especially when we know that it's nothing good will come out of it. Why don't we just rather surrender and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, you're right. Let's get this whooping over with and let me learn my lesson and let me live for you from this day forward. And that is the constant cycle of the child of God until you breathe your last breath or till the trumpet sounds. Is you're going to have your good days, you're going to have your bad days, you're going to have to go in the woodshed again. God's going to work on you, you're going to come back out a stronger person. Listen, if Jesus told us to forgive each other 70 times 7 in a single day, how much more will he forgive you and me? Amen. So he's there and faithful. He's not going to let you alone. He said, Brother Gary, I'm worried. I have constant trouble and I can't seem to get victory over certain areas in my life. Hey, I would worry about the person that's not worried about it. But if you're worried about it, it's a pretty good indicator you're his and he's working on you. You may not feel like you make much progress. And you may feel like it's a slow road. But guess what? God's working on you. Just let him do his work and come humbly before him every time he chastens you. Admit where you've done wrong. Amen. So this verse gives us a picture of a dislocated joint, I think, and it still exists, but it is out of alignment, right? And so God wants to put things back into alignment for us. Pain in your life then is often the result of something being out of place. What gets out of place in our lives that causes us pain? Well, our priorities get out of place. Our relationships are sometimes out of place. Sometimes we don't put God first. And that's where the pain really comes from. We might try to shift the blame on anything and everything and everybody else. But usually it boils down to it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me. Oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. And when we get reset, it's not comfortable. That's why the suffering is involved. It's painful to be healed sometimes, right? Because we're such a wreck. It hurts to confess, to admit. It hurts our pride. That's part of the pain, isn't it? But let's just get real with God. God will allow the pain in order to put your life back together. Amen? Let's look at point number three. Perfecting means then preparing you for function. God wants to fix you so that you can serve him. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You didn't think God saved you and then let you off the hook to do whatever you wanted to, did you? You know, people talk about their liberty in Christ. I have freedom in Jesus. Freedom to do what? You're free to serve him. You're not free to do your own will. Are you any better than your master? If Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done, do you think we're going to get a free pass to do whatever we want to do? Yeah. I think not. Amen. God wants us to surrender to him so that he can use us in his ministry. Now, are you well enough in the Lord for him to call on you if need be for ministry service? Is this the reason why there are so many, Brother Chris, missing in action today? Because they're not even spiritually fit enough to serve should God call them to service. What God wants is an army of healed individuals who knows where their healing came from and who are willing to serve the Lord with every fiber of their being. Saying, I'm done with myself. God, what do you want from me? Some of you are being called into ministry. I don't know who you are. I think I may have an idea. Some of you have already been called to ministry. And what the devil's doing right now is he is sifting you as wheat, making you second guess your calling and reminding you of how unworthy you are to be used of God. And so he wants you to give up before you even get started in ministry. But the devil is a liar. God can heal your brokenness and help you serve him if you'll just yield to the process. A bone that has been reset must now heal and regain strength, right? God's not just fixing you to leave you to the shelf or to yourself. He's fixing you so that you can function in the kingdom. He's preparing you to walk for him, walk with him. He's preparing you to witness for him. He's preparing you to carry the weight of the burdens of life and the burdens of ministry that he's going to place in your life. How can you carry weight if your bone is out of place? You see, he wants you to bring glory to him. He would be unjust if he required any less. He is so perfect, so pure, so awesome that he's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And so if he's worthy of it all, he would be unjust not to require his creation to give him everything. You say that's egotistical. No, not when you're right. Not when you're the one that can lay true claim to it. That's not egotistical at all. That's just proper etiquette in the kingdom. We owe him everything. So this perfecting, this repairing, this mending is tied to your purpose. You say, what in the world's God doing in my life? Just give God time and it'll clear up. Just stay with him. Stay at his feet. Stay in the word. Stay in church. Amen. Can I say it again and ask for an amen? Stay in church. Amen. There you go. Because church will help you stay closer to the Lord. Now, God, again, doesn't fix you for you to just feel better. Well, I got that over with. I feel good. But what are you going to do with that feeling? Amen. It fits you so you can serve better. And serving is not always a feel-good experience. But you can be healed enough and strong enough to serve God. And that's where we want to get. Let's talk about point number four now. Let's talk about how that perfecting is the first step towards being established. That is, being mended, being fixed, being reset, put back in your proper place with God, is the very first step to really being established and settled in your faith so that you're not shaken. No one is more off balance than someone who has a foot or a bone out of joint. If you want firm footing, everything's got to be in its place. Everything's got to be strong. Amen? And this is for a church, any church that's gone through the sifting, any church that's gone through the fires of adversity and trial and hardship and have waged war against hell itself. What God wants to do is heal us to the point to where we are unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, you've got to know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, or you will quit before you even get started. You got to know it, because the Bible said it. And if the Bible said it, Brother Lesher, that's good enough for me. So if you labor for the Lord, it is not in vain. He said, well, I don't see nobody else. I invited 1,000 people, not one of them showed up. You'll know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible said that. I don't care if they don't show up in our church. They might have went to the church down the road and got saved and started preaching. You may not know it till you get to heaven, but you got to know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and don't make no excuses. Can I get an amen? This is where God wants us. To quit letting the devil talk us out of serving him because the optics don't match up to our levels of effort. 1 Peter 5:10, our opening verse, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish. See, that's after he heals you. And the reason a lot of churches never are really spiritually established and they're always in turbulent waters is because they've never allowed the healing to be complete, whatever the healing needs to be. So notice the order, perfect. He wants to make you perfect. Then he wants to establish you. Then he wants to strengthen you. Then he wants to settle you. Those will be my next few services. But God will not establish what is still broken. He said, well, I want the church to do better, but you don't want to do no better. I want the church to do better, but you don't want to do better? Hold on a minute. Aren't you the church? The church is not a separate entity. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are the church. By default, if you're saying, I want the church to do better, you ought to realize you're saying, in essence, I've got to do better. That goes for me too. If you want your church to do better, then by all means, do better for Jesus. Church, ask the Lord, say, Lord, where am I hindered? Where am I broken? What do I need healed so I can be more willing to volunteer and serve and be faithful to the church and to the cause of Christ, not to be easily shaken. I fear that this generation has been trained to be offended at everything, and they can't take a single rebuke from anybody, whether it's real and true and genuine and needed or not. The Bible tells us that wise men will receive reproof, but fools reject knowledge. You want to be a fool? Just go ahead and be stubborn and not take and accept a reproof from your pastor when you and I and God all know that you need it. Amen. And I need it too sometimes. Brother Lester, God put him in my life, and he don't rebuke me per se. But if I need some correcting, Brother Lester's more than happy to say, Brother Gary, let's talk about this scripture I heard you preach on the other day. I'm not sure if we got that right or not. And I appreciate that. Because we all need that friction that knocks off the rough edges in our life. Amen. Pastors need pastoring too. And I beg you. I really do. I honestly, sincerely mean this. If I get out of line, you tell me. But just bring the Bible with you when you do it, please. Don't bring your opinion that has no basis in the Word of God. I know we all have preferences, but don't we need to be healed from preferences, right? And get back to the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. He wants to settle us. He won't establish us if we're not healed. So he begins that perfecting work, and he plants us after the fact, and he starts preparing us for work. So I want to try to bring us to a close. Let me ask you a few questions. And these are, of course, rhetorical. So don't be like somebody I pastored down in Mississippi. I asked a rhetorical question, and he answered it out loud for everybody. Answer this to yourself between you and God. What has God been exposing in your life through pain or discomfort? Whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your church life, or maybe your social life, or your work life. Maybe that pain is pointing to something that needs healing. Where has something been out of alignment in your life? Have you been in your prayer closet lately? Or have you been too busy? Again, this is not to shame anybody. We all have our bad moments. This is to bring healing. Will you be in your place, or will you easily be led off to something the world's got going on that all of a sudden takes top priority? That's sort of an out of alignment kind of thing, isn't it? What has God been trying to fix that you keep resisting? You know that thing that he keeps dealing with you about? I don't even have to mention it by name. You already know what it is. Don't resist. Some people want God to move the pain instead of finishing the process. Lord, can you just heal me and get it over with? Not if you're not going to learn your lesson. He doesn't discipline you just for the sake of disciplining you. As parents, you don't just whoop children, as I said, just for the sake of inflicting pain. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Somebody like, I wish I could inflict some pain. You don't know what my young been doing lately. No, it's not about the pain. It's about the process. It's about what we learn. Amen? So, you're not being destroyed. You need to know that. You'll survive this if you'll just continue to yield to the Lord. Church, we will survive the testings of God as long as we stay humble and yielding in his presence. We will survive. And we will not just survive, we'll thrive. Don't let the optics deceive you and lie to you. I know what the devil's been telling you. You say, how do you know? Because he comes around and talks to me too. I'm learning not to listen to him. Amen. Yeah, he makes his rounds. And sometimes he speaks through you and me, and sometimes he just speaks directly to us. Don't be guilty of letting the devil use your tongue as his tool to advertise his ideas. You're not being destroyed. You're being put back together. You're not being abandoned. You're being adjusted. You're not being delayed. You're being prepared. God wants to do something much bigger in our life, but he's got to make room for it, and he's got to get us healed for it. The same God who allowed the suffering is the God who is now perfecting you through it. He's working on you and I. If you let him finish his work, you will come out whole, aligned, and ready for everything that he has called you to do. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for next level ministry.
What a great teaching from Pastor Gary today on True North. We currently are going through a series called Established. It touches on themes found in 1 Peter 5:10. In case you need a reminder about the verse that this series is based on, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So as you continue listening to what Pastor Gary has to share, this verse can provide insight into the bigger picture. Speaking of the bigger picture, we'd love to help you understand more fully what it means to know and live for Jesus. To get more information, you can go to GaryCottle.com. Email is a great option too. Email contact at Gary, CAUDILL.com. Has today's message been a blessing to you in a personal way? If so, we'd love to partner with you in ministry, so that these messages can stay on the air, blessing all those who would hear. To take that next step, you can send a donation by check to Gary Cottle Ministries, 1112 Old Washington Road, Thompson, Georgia, 30824. Thank you. This has been True North.